All right, Matthew 13. Now, on Wednesday nights, as you well know, we do things a little different on Wednesday nights. And what we do, we try to build and give you some things on Wednesday night Bible study that I can't normally do on a Sunday morning. What I'm going to share with you tonight, what I've shared with you on past Wednesday nights, you can't do that particularly on Sunday morning. Sunday morning we have visitors. We're trying to reach people and some that are lost and need to be saved, etc. And then on Wednesday night, most of the time you have your core group, those that are able to come. I know some watch on the internet, things of that nature. But on Wednesday nights, we sort of try to go a little deeper and show you some things. Now, let me give you something real quick. There are three things, or three applications of any verse, any story. Whether it's Noah's Ark, three Hebrew boys, and the fiery furnace, all through the Bible. David and Goliath, don't make any difference. Where you go in the Bible, there's always three applications. There's one interpretation, but three applications. There's a historical application where that actually did happen. Take, for instance, David and Goliath. David and Goliath, that story actually happened. Historically, that story did happen. And then there's a spiritual application. So if I was preaching David and Goliath's story on a Sunday morning with visitors and all of that kind of stuff, you would apply that a spiritual application or a practical. Some people call it a practical application. How does it apply practically to my life? And so you might preach it this way. You got giants in front of you. No matter how big they are, how small you may feel, you get you some five smooth stones. Those stones could be the word of God. And boy, you just kill and knock your giant down. And everybody shouts and Tommy gets up and down. And here we go, you know, on a Sunday morning. That's a spiritual application. But then when you go into a doctrinal application, you would actually show where David, the shepherd boy, pictures the Lord Jesus Christ, the great shepherd. And Goliath would picture the Antichrist, here coming in the tribulation period. And so the Lord Jesus Christ, King David, King Jesus, comes and kills the Antichrist, kills Goliath. Did you realize that David killed Goliath in the very place that the Battle of Armageddon is going to take place? In the Valley of Megiddo, right there. So that is a doctrinal application. So don't have time to do any more of that, but there's always, anytime you read a story, there's always three applications to it. So when you look at Matthew 13, there is a certain way that I would preach that on Sunday morning. And I'll go into that for you just a little bit. But on a Wednesday night, we really like the doctrinal aspect of a lot of these things. Where's the church? Where's the tribulation? Where's the kingdom? Where'd the cross? Etc. Now, as a laying a foundation, and if you've been here any Wednesday night, you already know some of this stuff. But I'm going to do it for those watching on internet and for those of us that just need to be refreshed. Now, Matthew 13, before the cross or after the cross? You got the cross here. Let me help you. Jesus dies on the cross in Matthew 27. We're in Matthew 13. So, before the cross or after the cross? Before. We got before the cross. Boy, Linda, miss. Boy, she, Daddy would be so, so disappointed. She's... Now, let me give you this. You already know this probably, but obviously this is called the first coming of Christ. You've got the birth of Christ. That's what they call the first coming. Then you have the second coming of Christ. Okay, you know that. This time, he rides into Jerusalem on a donkey. This time, he'll ride in the second time on a white horse. You got that. Okay? Now, those disciples in Matthew 13 did not see us, did not see the cross. I'll prove that one to you. Let me see right here. Let's look right here, I think, in Luke 18:31. Watch this. Then he took unto him the 12 disciples and said unto them, Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and all things that are written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man shall be accomplished. Now watch this. For he shall be delivered unto the Gentiles. He shall be mocked, spitefully entreated, and spitted on. And they shall scourge him and put him to death. And the third day he shall rise again. Jesus just told the 12 disciples that he's going to be whipped, scourged, put to death on the cross, and die and raise again the third day. He just told them the whole gospel. Watch. And they understood none of these things. You see that? And this saying was hid from them. Neither knew they the things that were spoken. So, on a Wednesday night, I know you understand this, but I want to rephrase it again. The disciples did not see that, did not see us, did not see anything in red. They didn't see the rapture of the church. They didn't see the church. They didn't see the cross coming. Had no idea. They did not understand. Jesus told Peter, says, hey, I'm going to be the whole thing that you just told here. And Peter said, let it be far from thee, Lord. We'll never let that happen. Boy, we're going to be right there with you to the end, you know. And they didn't see that. They didn't see the cross. So a lot of times you hear preachers say, boy, we're preaching the same thing as the disciples. Man, they don't preach the same thing I do. They don't know what I know now. Not that I'm smarter than them. I'm saying they don't know. Looking back on this thing, I'm seeing in hindsight, they couldn't see forward. Does that make sense? So, before we get to Matthew 13, we've got to erase this. If they didn't see it, right? We're in Matthew 13, and they don't know anything about this, right? Okay. And they don't know anything about this, the rapture. The Apostle Paul told us about this. Behold, I show you a mystery. Why is it a mystery? Because nobody before Paul knew about it. So we got to erase this. Okay? All right. So now, what do we have? We got Jesus. Here he comes. Now, so basically, I tell you what, let's do this. Just for, so you can, I'm undoing all of my beautiful, beautiful artwork here. Okay. Let me do this. And what they referred to it as was kingdom of heaven. Okay? I can prove that. Remember, John the Baptist comes on the scene. Behold, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Jesus comes on the scene in Matthew 4. Repent, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The disciple says, Jesus, teach us how to pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. You have a king, King Jesus. He has just been born. Where is he born? King of the Jews. If he's a king, he has to have a kingdom. So he presents himself as the king to the nation of Israel. And so, repent, kingdom of heaven is at hand. At that particular time, this right here could have been theirs, with Jesus Christ sitting on the throne in Jerusalem, ruling over the whole world if they would have accepted it. Does everybody get that? Okay. Now, so in Matthew 13 view, this is how we see it. Now, we're fixing to add into this chart here in just a little bit. All right, let's go to Matthew 13. Here we go. In Matthew 13, let's go at verse 1. The same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside. And great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. Now, the reason he did that, I ain't got time to explain it all, but they don't have... Jesus didn't have a microphone to put on his ear and amplify. So what Jesus did, he would get on that seashore, probably sat down in one of the... Oriental custom was a teacher always sat down. And they would sit down, in the Western world like we are in the Western, a teacher, preacher stands up. Over there, that Oriental Middle Eastern teacher would sit out. So he sits down in the boat, and they gather up on the seaside there, and it was almost like an amphitheater. And his voice would carry. That makes sense? Okay. Now, verse 3. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went forth to sow. Now, a parable, just so you'll know this, a parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. It would be very similar to some of the stuff I do on Sunday morning, give you illustration. And I'll tie that illustration, into the sermon. Sometimes it works, sometimes it don't. But Jesus, it always worked. He spoke to them in parables. That parable was an earthly story, something they could relate to. A sower goes sowing seed in a field. The disciples could relate to that. Hey, I know what you're talking about. The wheat and the tares, the next parable. They could relate to that. The hid treasure, the mustard seed. They can relate to all of that. So Jesus spoke to them in parables, an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. And so what he was doing, a parable does two things. It will reveal certain things and conceal other things. So he spoke to them in parables. The people that understood, it was revealed to them. That Bible either be an open book to you or a closed book to you. Same book can be an open book or a closed book. It all depends on the attitude that you have toward the Bible. Now, all right, let's look at verse number 4. Here's the parable. And when he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside. All right, there's one. And the fowls came and devoured them up. Verse 5. Some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth. And forthwith they sprung up because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched. And because they had no root, they withered away. All right, that's two. Third type of soil, verse 7. And some fell on the among the thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. All right, verse 8 is your fourth type of soil. But other fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Now what you'll have to compare this, but starting in verse 19, he gives you more information about those four types of soil. 19, you've got the soil by the wayside. Verse 20, the stony places. Verse 22, the thorns. Verse 23, the good ground. Okay, so what we have four sowing of seed. What is sowing seed? Well, in the Bible, when you sow seed, it's putting out the word, the gospel of the kingdom of heaven. He's putting that out. It's like sowing seed on the ground. Some was falling by the wayside. Some were falling in stony places. Some fell upon the thorns, and the thorns choked the seed out. It didn't go anywhere. And then some fell on good ground, and it took root and brought forth some 100-fold, some 60-fold, and 30-fold, whatever else it said. Now, what in the world does all that mean? What in the world? Is a doctrinal application. Now, I'll give you the spiritual application in just a minute. The doctrinal application, you have four sowings of the seed. Okay? Now, let's go for the first one. The first one was by the wayside. Now, there was a fella that came on the scene. And the first fella to start preaching this gospel of the kingdom, and his name was John the Baptist. Now, he didn't start the Baptist church, but they called him Baptist because he was a baptizer. So he was out there baptizing people and all of that. They called him John, basically, the baptizer, the Baptist. Now, some people say, well, John, he started the Baptist church. Man, John didn't even know what a Baptist church was. So here we have John the Baptist, the baptizer, and what is he doing? In Matthew chapter 3, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent. He's throwing seed. He's sowing seed of the kingdom. Seeds for the kingdom. Sowing seed. Now what happened? Well, the wayside, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Okay? John the Baptist, here he is. He's sowing seed. And the fowls of the air, The fowls of the air came and devoured, the wayside. You say, all right, what's the fowls of the air? Well, you remember when John the Baptist was preaching, and he's out there preaching in the wilderness. Everybody thought he's crazy. He's out there in a camel hair jacket, and he's eating locusts and wild honey dripping from his beard. And he's out there preaching, you know, repent, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And the Pharisees and the Sadducees, as John was throwing seed out, the Pharisees and Sadducees were coming up behind him picking the seed up. We don't want y'all to hear this. This man's crazy. You don't want to go hear him preach. He's crazy. He's nuts. He's like from Millsfield or somewhere, you know. He says to all, you know, it just don't make any sense. He's out there dunking people in water. We've never done that before. Who's ever heard of that? He's talking about, you know, preparing for the kingdom. We have a king. His name is Caesar. I mean, why are we looking for another king for? They're coming up, picking up the seed. Some fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them. All right? That's one. Now, the second one. Let's look at this second one right here. And let's see. The second one. Who came after John? His name was Jesus. And guess what? He was preaching the same thing. There he is. He's preaching the same thing. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And he's preaching the same thing, and he's sowing seed. He's sowing the seed there, and let's see what happens to the seed. Some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth. Had a little, but not much. And forthwith they sprang up because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was there, they were scorched. And because they had no root, they withered away. Now watch this. Watch what happens. Jesus starts sowing seed. It falls on a little earth, but it didn't have any roots to it. So when Jesus, y'all remember this, when Jesus first started preaching his repent, the kingdom of heaven, and he starts healing people, he fed the 5,000. Everybody loves Jesus at first. Remember? Everybody loves Jesus. Oh, Lord, come to my house. Heal my daughter. This, that, and the other. They liked him because of he was what he was doing. They didn't like him for who he was. They wanted him to heal them, but they didn't want him to be their king. Just heal my family. And let me get back to my TV show. You see? Some seed did fall. Man, they did. It looked like, I mean, they were following him everywhere. Fed 5,000 people with 5 loaves, 2 fishes. Everybody come to hear him. It looks like the seed was taking root a little bit. But then when they, matter of fact, do you remember? He rides into Jerusalem. They're saying, Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. This is him. He's going to bring in the kingdom. Man, that's on Wednesday. Or excuse me, on Sunday. By Wednesday, they're crying, crucify, crucify. See, that seed took root, but it didn't last long because it didn't have a root system. Make sense? Now what happens? They put him on the cross, right? They put him on the cross. And let's see. All right, let's leave that right there for right now. Let's go to number 3. Oh, verse number 7. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. All right? In the book of Acts, if you remember this on the cross, I'm looking for maybe just a different color here. On the cross, they crucified the nation of Israel. Crucifying, crucifying. Y'all remember what Jesus said on the cross? He said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. God answers that prayer and gives them another opportunity in the book of Acts. In the book of Acts, chapter number 2 is the first place. Acts chapter number 2, Peter preaches. So this third sowing is in the book of Acts. This is Acts 2, and then the second one was Acts chapter number 7 by a fellow by the name of Stephen. Okay? Peter, it almost looked like Peter was doing some good because what? 3,000 people got saved on the day of Pentecost. And then Stephen comes along, preaches the same message. Let me write this number 3. And what was that? Thorns, wasn't it? Thorns. Okay? Now, you're saying, man, you're way off. Look at here. Well, the Bible says some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. All right? Okay? Don't believe me? Let me find my verse. Let me find my verse right over here in Acts chapter number. Oh, you won't believe this. Stephen's preaching in Acts 7. He's sowing seed. Sowing seed. You with me? When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. Now, hang on. John the Baptist came sowing seed. Y'all know what they did to John the Baptist? They cut his head off. Put it on a charger. Not the car charger, but the... Some of you are asleep on Wednesday night. John the Baptist, they cut his head off. I don't think they received the seed too well. Jesus came. Preached. He's sowing seed. Second sowing. He's sowing seed. Well, they crucified him. I don't think they received his message either. Third one, Stephen. Fell among thorns. Thorns rose up and choked the seed. When Stephen gets done preaching, when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. Let's see what the next verse says. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven, saw the glory of God, and Jesus standing at the right hand of God, and said, behold, I see heavens open, and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Then they cried out with a loud voice, and stopped their ears, and ran upon him with one accord, and called him out of the city. Or cast him out of the city, rather, and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their coats at the young man's feet, whose name was Saul. Mm-hmm. They stoned Stephen, calling upon God, saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. I don't think they received his message either. So when Peter was preaching, when Stephen was preaching, when he got done, they came on and started gnashing on him with their teeth. And then they picked up stones to kill him. And he died. Does that not sound familiar? The thorns rose up and choked the seed. Does that not sound like what we just read in Acts 7? All right. When Acts 7, when those thorns choked out that seed, it's what happened. Y'all read me? Y'all know it? Y'all already know it? God says, all right, we're going to have to postpone this little deal. We'll postpone this little deal. Jews, go stand in the corner. Y'all are in trouble. Go stand in the corner. I'm fixing to offer this seed to somebody else, and they'll hear it. Stay in your seat. Stay in your seat. Don't get excited. Right here. That's how I got in. So basically, he pushed that kingdom out further. Now you know why we, because why? Paul got saved in Acts 9, which was the Saul that just stoned him. He got saved in Acts 9. God, you know, saved him from that. And Paul wrote 13 books to the New Testament church, to us, a bunch of Gentiles. Then, the next thing that happens, remember I told you everything in red nobody saw back here. We're waiting on the rapture of the church. And when the church leaves out of here, God says, okay, are y'all ready to listen now? Jews, are y'all ready to listen? Good night. I mean, you got one more week. You had one more week left. And that 7 years, fixing to put it on you. And that 7 years right there, in that 7 year time period, let's get to our last one here. See, we're doing good on time. But other fell on good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. Who has the ear to hear, let him hear. All right? There's two fellows, middle of the tribulation period. If you want to know where it's in Revelation chapter number 7, verse 4 and verse 9. Revelation 7, verse 4, verse 9. Let me see if I got it on here for you. I might have. Who knows? No, I don't. But it's in Revelation chapter number 4. Moses, Elijah, two big preachers. Would you not agree? And the 144,000 Jews that start preaching the gospel of the kingdom in the tribulation period. Guess what? They're sowing seed. And in the tribulation, it falls upon good ground. They didn't receive it here. Jews didn't receive it here or here. Some by the wayside. Some fell on stony ground. It took root just a little while when Jesus was coming on the scene. But then they wind up crucifying him. Stephen come. They choked him out. That made room for us to get in. When we leave, Jews, okay, I'm sending y'all Moses, Elijah. You better listen to them. And I'm sending you 144,000 Jews. Y'all better listen to them. And they start sowing seed. Well, I have to, let me read Revelation. Hang on. Revelation. Where'd they move Revelation to? 7 and verse 4, and I heard the number of them which were sealed. The sealed 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel. And in verse 9, after this, behold, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number of all nations, kindreds, and peoples, and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hand. Did you know when they sow seed, there are people in the tribulation, the nation of Israel, that gets saved and accepts Jesus as their Messiah. It falls on good ground and it takes root. Okay? All right. Jesus says, okay, y'all have received the King. Y'all ready to go into the kingdom? Some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. All that seed that was sown, they finally receive it. You say, preacher, you got a verse? Yes. I always got a verse. It's all right. Don't need them. Got excited. Romans 11, 25. For I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part has happened to Israel. Blindness has happened to Israel. Until when? The fullness of the Gentiles be come in. It's all in the Bible. And so all Israel shall be what? Saved. As it is written, when they're going to be saved, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. That's when they're going to get saved. For this is my covenant of them, when I shall take away their sins. Right here. As a nation, not as an individual. Two different things. If a Jew was to get saved today, he'd be a part of the body of Christ where I'm at. We're talking about the nation as a whole, national. Get saved here. Does that make sense? Now, and that's number four. On good ground. That is good ground. It takes root. Does that make sense? Some fell by the wayside under John the Baptist. Some fell under stony places under Jesus. Some fell among the thorns under Stephen. Rejection, rejection, rejection. When Jesus come, or Moses and Elijah, seed, tribulation, multitudes of people accept the Messiah, good ground, and it takes root. And that happens in the kingdom. Does everybody see that? That is the doctrinal application of the sower. Now, Miss Cindy asked me a question Sunday morning. And I'm fixing to answer her question right now. Let me find my verse. Has this verse ever bothered anybody else? Luke 12:10. And whosoever shall speak a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But unto him that blasphemeth against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven. Whew. Does that bother anybody? You blaspheme the Holy Ghost. Wouldn't you want to know what that is so I don't do it? I mean, if there's a possibility you can blaspheme against the Holy Ghost and not be forgiven, I sure want to find out what that is so I don't do it. Right? Luke 12, before the cross. Watch. Get this right here. This will help you, hopefully. The nation of Israel rejected God the Father. They rejected God the Son here. And they rejected God the Holy Spirit here. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Acts 7. You do resist the Holy Ghost. Holy Spirit, same thing. That's what it says in Acts 7. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. When they stoned Stephen, they committed the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit as a nation. I think Matthew calls it... let's see, there's blaspheming the Holy Ghost and the unpardonable sin. Everybody ever heard the unpardonable sin? The sin you can't be forgiven of. Blaspheming the nation of Israel did that. Now, you say, okay, how would you spiritualize that for us today? Very easy. How would somebody blaspheme the Holy Ghost and it won't be forgiven? All right, remember this. In this age we live in right now, there's only one sin that God will not forgive you for. There's only one. And that's rejecting His Son, Jesus Christ. People sit on church pews every Sunday, every Sunday, every Sunday. Now, thank the Lord He gives us multiple chance. Aren't you glad for the 10th and the 6th and the 10th and the 49th chance? And what? How many every chances He's give you? But there comes a time when a person says no to Christ for the last time and they've blasphemed the Holy Spirit and they can't be forgiven if you don't accept Christ. You can't be forgiven if you don't accept Christ and you go to hell. That makes sense? I can't commit that sin. Because I have the Lord Jesus Christ living on the inside. I've already accepted Him. That makes sense? So, as a nation, Luke 12, the nation of Israel blasphemed against the Holy. They committed the unpardonable sin. That's how we got in. God says, all right, nation, go over and sit down. I'm done with y'all. I'm bringing in the church. Stay in your seat. Don't get excited. Okay. Now, real quick, I may say this for a Sunday morning. Let me give you this practical application real quick. Every sermon you've ever heard, it don't matter if I'm preaching, somebody else is preaching, seeds being sown. Sunday morning, this past Sunday morning, the by faith Enoch, and we was preaching from Genesis 5, Hebrews 11, and we was sowing seed. Out of the 70-some-odd whatever people was here, some fell on by the wayside. Some fell on stony ground. Some fell on stony ground, and it took root for a little bit. And they's like, boy, Brother Jerry, that's good. That's a good sermon. And walked out the doors, and it didn't take root. Some fell among thorns. You say, what in the world is that? Well, as long as we're in here, we're receiving the word. But when we get out there where the thorns are, everything else engulfed. We're so engulfed with everything else. We're ready to get to a ball game. We're ready to get to, hello. We're ready to get to somewhere. We got thorns all just, you know. We can't wait to get out to the car and turn our favorite song on, our favorite love song. And he stopped loving her today. And those thorns just come up. And everything that I preached just 10 minutes ago, the thorns just choked it all out. And then some fall on good ground when you preach. And it takes root in people's hearts. So if I was preaching that on Sunday morning, I'd say, all right, what kind of heart do you have? You have a stony heart? A thorny heart? Thorny heart? By the wayside? Or does it take root on good ground? And that's why you'd preach that on Sunday morning. But on Wednesday night, now I'm hoping you're seeing the difference. Because most, if I did this on Sunday morning, man, look at people. It'd be like serving steak to a 3-year-old. They'd choke in 10 minutes. So anyway. And Miss Cindy, I hope that answered some of that. As far as blaspheming against the Holy Ghost or committing the unpardonable sin, that's probably one of the most popular questions I get asked. What is that? Because I don't want to do it, you know. Well, if you accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you can't do it. Okay? The only person that can do that is somebody that doesn't have the Lord Jesus Christ, and they keep resisting. They keep blaspheming. They keep blaspheming. You say, how do you blaspheme? When the Holy Spirit's dealing with you during the invitation, you want to come down and get saved. You keep walking out the door saying, no, Holy Spirit, no, leave me alone. I want to go about my life. Leave me alone. And there'll be one day when you walk out of here and he will leave you alone. And you'll long for, Lord, please, please speak to my heart one more time. Yeah. So that would be the practical application, if you will.